My name is Vicki Muir, and I'm doing an interview for Wyoming History, and I am interviewing Evelyn Symes Johnson. Here. Where were you born and when?
I was born in Rock Springs in May 11, 1910, and I think it's quite interesting that I was born in a part of the barracks that was built for the soldiers that were brought here for the Chinese riot. And after the soldiers were gone, they made these barracks into four-room apartments. And so I was born in one of those, and it was on the side where the parochial school on the north side is now. So I think that's quite an interesting thing. And I was a second daughter and second child of my mother and father, and had both come here from Scotland. My father when he was about 2 years old, and my mother when she was only 6 months old, to live here. And so I really am a child of pioneers of this area.
Why did your parents come to Rock Springs? I mean, your grandparents, actually.
Well, they lived in a part of Scotland where they were coal miners, and this area was very good for that. And also, they had been oppressed, and they couldn't own land, and they couldn't do things that they wanted to do in Scotland. And so they felt like this was a land of opportunity, and so that's why they came.
When you were born, did your mother go to a doctor or midwife or?
We had a doctor. His name was Charles Freeman, and he was affectionately known as Uncle Charlie. And I can remember him. He had his offices up over about where the old penny store used to be on Front Street. Very handsome little man with white hair. I remember him well.
Was it unusual to have a doctor? Or were they?
Yes, I think it was. And both of my grandmothers had been midwives in this area, and my grandmother Love, my mother's mother, was with her when I was born also, but they did have the doctor. Not many of them went to the hospital.
Just had them at home?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what your first memories were of the town and of your home?
One of the things I remember is that we had water outdoors, had a pump outdoors we had to go out for, and had outdoor plumbing. And I remember that my grandmother lived on M Street, so we didn't live far away, and I can remember going there. But some of my earliest recollections were when I was before I was six, that we moved to this house where I live now. My folks bought this house and we moved here.
So you've lived in this house since about 1916, off and on?
Mm-hmm. My folks have lived here. I've been away some, but this house has only been lived in by our family since that time.
How did you get around your town then? Did you have a car?
We walked.
We walked
very well. And sometime while I was a child, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but this Dave Thomas, who wrote the book of poetry, Overland and Underground, he lived in the big house over in the barracks, as they called them. It's where the nuns live now, for the parochial school on the north side. But Dave Thomas lived there. He was the superintendent of the Union Pacific Mines. And he had a car, and that's my first recollection of a car. He gave us rides and was very kind. And he and his family, his daughter was Dr. Goodnow's wife. She died not too many years ago. And they were a very lovely family.
Did your father work in the mines, or just your grandfather?
Well, my father worked on the railroad and in the mines, but then he was very sick just about the time I was born, and he couldn't work very hard, and so somehow they got him a job being the janitor at over at Washington School. And so he went over there and he planted the trees around there, that old school, and took care of that. And so that's the line he stayed in most of his life then, was that, because he enjoyed doing it and it was easier for him. He had an infection in his hand that left one of his fingers stiff. And I think one of my mother's uncles was on the school board and they got him this job, and so he stayed in that.
Oh, were most of the people in town, did they work in the mines? Or?
Well, a lot of them did, but then there was the railroad, and there were a lot of foreigners that came here, and there was, just a lot of different things that they did, too, but mining was a chief industry.
Do you remember the mine when it was down where the junior high is now? Is that where the mine used to be, the number one mine when it came?
Well, the only mine entryway that I remember being right in town was one right across the street from the Northside State Bank. I can remember that when you could see the miners go in there and go down on the trip and then coming out.
I remember the
There were others. Now down on Blairtown Road and out number 4 and all, but that was only when I remember that was right in town.
What was the town like? Was it spread out over there now?
Well, not as much as it is now, but it was spread out, and it was, you know, the streets were crooked, and there were not too many really nice homes at first. Of course, the Tolliver House was one of the first ones that was one of the nicer homes. And then the Superior Lumber built this house. And see, Thomas A. James was my uncle, my father's brother-in-law, and so we bought this house and moved in here. And I think it was quite unusual for people to own homes then. And everyone of my mother's family thought it was terrible for us to come up here because this was really not very many people up here. It was just hill and dale up here, no vegetation. And they thought this was a terrible place, but my father liked it up on the hill, and so we bought this house.
Well, where did most of the people live? Who owned the homes they lived in? Did the mines have like a co-op?
The Union Pacific Coal Company owned the mines, the houses, like all those over in number 4 and all those. And there used to be up in number 2, all those little red houses. And along Broadway, there were little houses that the Union Pacific owned.
Did the houses kind of cluster around where the mines were? The entrance to the mines?
No, not necessarily. But the poor men had to walk. I can remember one time my grandfather was working in and the mine entry was up there where the Dead Horse Canyon is, you know, where they used to have the golf course. And he walked from M Street up there, and all the cold, they walked to work every morning.
So they didn't have anything like...
No, they didn't have any transportation, just to walk.
Just to walk. Do you remember what kind of shopping facilities were available at the town was that primitive?
Well, I remember that there was a store where Dice is. It was, and it was the LDS Bishop John Young that owned that store, and there was a big grocery store in there. And then also the Rock Springs Commercial, which was around the corner. It's in that old building around the corner there, as you go up that K Street. I think the Krasisniks owned that, and the Subics, and they had grocery stores and ready-to-wear stores. But my mother had been a a dressmaker. See, when she was young, she quit school and went to this dress shop and worked for about almost a whole year for nothing to learn the dressmaking business. And then by the time she was 19 years old, she owned the shop and ran it because there weren't many places that you could get ready-made clothes, and you had to send the catalogs and things. And so she owned a shop that made custom-made clothes.
Did she still do sewing after she
sewed for hats for many years till she was in her 70s, and she always sewed for people, but she never sewed out of her home after she got married.
So she sold the shop then. Do you remember much of the violence or anything that was in town, or bars or anything like that?
There were a lot of bars. I can remember that, and I can remember that there were a lot of things. And my grandfather had been a deputy sheriff, I think, and I can remember that we were warned so never to go near one, and when we walked past, we went past because we were sure something terrible would happen.
What kind of, were there a lot of different kinds of churches like there are now, or were there just a few?
Well, I think the Catholics were always prevalent, and probably the most prolific of any of them, but we had a little LDS church there on the corner where the, you know, by the library now. And there were always quite a few churches. I think the people were generally pretty religious there.
Were most of the holidays, did you get out like for Good Friday and the Catholic holidays, or did they allow you out of school then?
Well, we always got out for Good Friday. We didn't get so many holidays as they do now, but we always got Good Friday.
What did you do on holidays?
Well, we went out for picnics and rock climbing and, to go over there where the cut is for the at the mountain fuel. We climbed up into the rocks over there and had picnics. We thought we were having a very good time.
What kind of games did you play? Did you just
we had quite a neighborhood of young people in this area. There were the Johnsons that lived over there that used to have the Conoco Station and Howard's, and the Tollivers, and John Hayes lived on this corner, and so there were a lot of young people. We played Run Sheepy Run and all those kind of games that I guess most children don't even know much about them now, but we did a lot of sleighing and skating, and roller skating was real big in this area. And there was one little lady, a Mrs. Hassan, that lived down on A Street that threw ashes on her sidewalk so we couldn't go by because the roller skates in those days were not ball bearings and were really noisy skates, you know, and she didn't like us.
Were there a lot of sidewalks to roller skate on?
No, but A Street had sidewalks, so, and Cedar Street was on this side was paved quite early. I can remember downtown when there were boardwalks along by on North Front Street along there, and the street that went down where the old bridge used to be down, see, the creek ran through there where Noble Drive is, and along there there was I can remember when that was still boardwalk down there.
Were there spaces between the boards, or was it just solid boards?
No, it was spaces between.
So it made a lot of noise. What about the weather? Was it as bad as it is now, or worse, or?
Well, I think it was bad then. I can remember that the snow would drift into our driveway, but we didn't have a car, so it was no big problem. But we had a lot of fun playing out there, and we'd walk off the wall onto these snow drifts, and our legs would sink down into them. And we did more things out of doors, I think, than the young people, except those that ski and things like that. Mm-hmm.
What about the children that you played with? Were there a lot of different nationalities?
Oh, yes. We always had lots of friends of different nationalities and different religions. I always had a lot of friends that were, now Hallie Tolliver next door was an Episcopalian. She was one of my best friends, and Doris O.J. that's still here was a Congregationalist, and it didn't seem to matter to us what people's nationality or religion was. We didn't pay any attention to that. I was married, moved away before I knew that there was such a thing as religious and ethnic intolerance. We didn't really know anything about that as young people. We just had friends every place, and we liked everybody.
Were there a lot of Chinese that still
No, not too many. There weren't too many stayed around here, but there were always some that were in the restaurants and things.
Did they mix with the rest of the people?
Not too much.
What about blacks? Were there very many blacks?
We had a few blacks in high school, and there was a family by the name of Epps, and their boys were very good athletes, and they were quite accepted in the high school. No one seemed to ever feel like they were not wanted.
Did they have holidays or anything that they celebrated differently? Like the
Don't
Jewish
remember
different holidays?
That they did.
Were there very many Jewish people in town?
Not too many, not, or I can't remember many earlier. Later on, there was the Cohens that ran one of the men's ready-to-wear store, and then we had a Dr. Ormland, a Jewish dentist that was a very good dentist, that came in here, but that was later on.
What about Indians? Were there very many Indians, or did you see them?
No, we didn't see very many Indians here. My father said that when they were young here, that his father and mother used to feed Indians all the time, and he said he can remember that they came and that his mother would always invite them in and feed them, but I don't remember seeing any as a child. Unless we went someplace or that there was a parade or something that they would be having.
Did they decorate up the town for like Christmas like they do now?
Not so much now. No, not so much as they do now. Of course, we didn't have the electricity to, you know, everything was kind of expensive too. They probably just couldn't afford to do it.
Did you have your house decorated and stuff at Christmas, like the tree?
We used to have a Christmas tree, and two things I can remember that we always, my mother and father always made lots of candy and good things, so I gave them to our friends and things like that. But
did you ever put candles on the tree, or was that?
Yes, we had candles at first, when we first had our tree, but We were always afraid to light them, so we never did really enjoy them, so we really enjoyed it when we could have electric lights.
What was school like when you were going to school?
Well, I went to school in the old rock building that was, it's down next to this building that was last used as the district education building on B Street. And they took the rock from that to build the stadium, the wall up at the stadium. And it was a big, it had big rooms and big staircases. But we had good teachers. I remember really my first grade teacher was Miss Bolus, and I can still remember her flashing the cards for us for phonics, and we learned to read very fast. I think we had really good schools because they gave us the basics.
Were there very many kids in the school?
Oh, yes. They were. We had probably about 30 in our class.
What kind of subjects did they teach?
We had just about the same things that they do now, only not so many. I can remember that we had chorus, and they had different kind of manual training and things like that. Of course, they were not as extensive as they are now, and they didn't have the equipment, but then they did have a good, I think we got a good education.
Did they have, like, the sports, like the basketball?
Oh, yes. We had basketball, and I can remember when football first started, they went down here on this flat down here where Bunning has the pipes. That's where the football field was. We had games down there.
Did they have games between other cities? Or just
oh, yes. Yeah. James came here to play football and basketball when he was in high school. Of course, I didn't know him then, but he did come here. And they had in this old DI building, that gymnasium down there. You've been in there with that track around. I can remember when that's where I was in high school. And I remember the band up in there. We had a little band. It wasn't very good, but it was a band, and a lot of people started out there. We had some very good music teachers in Rock Springs. John Brookman was a violin teacher that was here, and we had quite a few people who started out with him who became quite well known in music circles, like Sylvan Ward and Himaloya and some of the boys that took from him. And we had good piano teachers. This little Mary Morris was her son was in the Kellogg Lumber Company too later on, but she was a little tiny lady, but a wonderful musician and really a wonderful teacher. So we had a little bit of everything, and we had good, I think we had really good teachers.
Did they use very strict discipline, or did they have problems with it?
Oh, I some of them were strict and some weren't. I can remember our junior high principal was quite strict, but our principal in high school was T.J. Kelly, his name was. He was kind of with the boys, and everybody liked him. So there was no problems because he had the students all with him.
What were you expected to do at home?
Oh, yes. I think we probably helped much more than they do now. I can remember that my father used to do the dishes for me a lot of, excuse me, a lot of times so that I would practice my music. And so I really used that. You know, I would practice more than I had to so that I didn't have to do dishes.
Did you just play the piano or did you play other?
No, just the piano, and then later on I took the organ when I went to California. But then I went out and babysat just like the girls do now, and I helped some of the women who had little ones and were sick, and I went and helped clean their houses and things like that while I was in high school. And I saved my money because I wanted to go on to school. And my mother and father had not had the opportunity to go to school very much, and so they really desired that we have an education. So my sister went to Utah State and became a school teacher, and so they wanted me to do that too. So I went down there 1 year, but I had been staying with my grandmother when I was maybe 12 or 14, and my grandfather had been hurt quite bad, and they brought him right to her house, you know, instead of taking him to the hospital. And this Dr. E.S. Lodger, who built this brick house on the corner here, came to the house, and he had a broken jaw, and the bone was sticking through, and my grandmother, she just couldn't do anything. And so the doctor told me what he wanted. He wanted very hot water, because he had some kind of material, I've never seen it since, in a hospital. And he molded that to my grandfather's jaw after he heated it. And I helped him and did all these things. And so he said to me, when you graduate from high school, I'd like you to get in touch with me, because I'd like you to go in nurse's training at Merritt Hospital in Oakland, California, and I'm on the staff there, so I could get you in there. So that was kind of in my mind then for the rest of my schooling, that I wanted to be a nurse. I always did kind of think it was a good idea, but that made it more sure when he talked like that to me.
Did you go contact him to go to nursing school?
Yes, and he got me into Merritt Hospital, and I went out there when I was 19 when I went out there, and I didn't know anybody out there. I didn't think I knew anybody out there, and it was kind of everybody thought I was really brave to go clear to California all by myself, you know, go on the train and go in nurse's training.
How long did you have to be in training? Was it like
3 years. We had to be 3 years the year round. We had a 2 week vacation.
Is it anywhere similar to training?
Well, now they go like just 3 years or 4 years. But then they only go in the school year, and they don't go weekends, and they don't work, and they really don't get the amount of experience that we got, but I guess they get maybe a little more book learning.
Did you go, like, to regular classes, or was it just all helping the doctor?
Oh, no, we had regular classes, and we also took some classes at Oakland High School, and so we had a nursing arts instructor and also a theory instructor, and then we went on the floors, we were supervised.
And you got your RN?
Yes. Yeah. I graduated in 1932 from nurses training, and then one of the doctors asked me if I'd like to work for him, and he was the x-ray doctor at the hospital, so I went into his office. He did all the x-rays for the hospital, and I went in as his nurse, and I learned x-ray too. So he was a German doctor and a very, very bright man. I really had a good teacher.
How long did you?
Oh, I was out there about, I was in training 3 years, and then I took a part of my 3 years was a kind of a specialization. It was in supervision and administration, and I did that, and then I went into his office, and I worked for about a year and a half, so I was there almost 5 years out there. And then this Dr. Lodger called and wanted me to come back and work for him, and my folks were anxious for me to come back here again. So I came back here, and everyone predicted that I wouldn't stay here very long after living in California that long. But after I was here for a while, I met my husband, so that kept me here.
Well, did you live with your parents when you came
yes,
back?
Yes, I lived with them.
Mm-hmm. You said you had a week's vacation. What did you do on your vacation?
You went to Salt Lake on the train, or somebody, one time, in training, you mean, what did we do on our vacation? We generally just came home for our vacation when we were in training, and then we went to Salt Lake and did different things, and sometimes we went to Yellowstone. Somebody would take us to Yellowstone. Some of the family had cars.
What about dances and stuff like that? Did they have them very regularly?
Oh, yes. They always had dancing here. And there used to be such a good floor at the Masonic Temple where they used for the mail later on. That was a beautiful dance floor. They had dances there. And then after the Elks building was built, they dance there. So there were, and the school dances were really nice. They had nice things, had them, and the different service groups, like the Lions, and people had dances.
The whole town was invited to come to them, not just the members?
Well, I can't remember that everyone was, but I think that they were generally pretty open. Interested.
Did you go with like chaperones or just friends or dates?
Well, we had dates, and then when I was at Logan at school, when I came home from school, I worked at Scott's Bakery, and a group of us would go to Green River to the dances too. They had a good dance place at the pavilion over in Green River, and we went over there and danced, and it'd be a group of us go together.
How much did you make when you first started working at the marsh?
Well, when I, after I graduated, I came here, and they called and asked me if I would work up at the hospital for a month, and I did. And I was all alone on the second floor there, and worked from 7 at night till 7 in the morning. And they said their nurse had a sick mother and had to go. Well, she didn't come back, and I was there the whole month. And so when they gave me my check, I got $60. And that's exactly how much I made when I was a young girl working for the Tom Thumb Candy Company soda squirting. I made $60 a month. So I thought I'd really progress to go to college and go through nurse's training and come home and make $60 a month. So I didn't work much more at that hospital. But I worked for Dr. Lodger for a while, and then I did some private duty, and then I got married. So I didn't work too long here until then. I didn't work any till Margaret Ann went to kindergarten, and I went back to work. And then I think it was $217.50 then a month that really raised.
you didn't have like the deductions we have now though?
No, you didn't have any income tax or anything taken out of them.
They didn't take anything out when you were at work or anything. Did you take your own lunch?
No, we always stayed at the hospital.
They had cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you get like paid vacation and holidays off, or did you just take time off?
When I was working for the hospital here, we got our vacation time. Holidays.
How had medicine changed from when you stopped working to when you went back after Margaret Ann?
Oh, it was a lot. lot of change. There were so many things that were new. The first month that I went back, I felt like I was a probationer again. And it took quite a while to get used to all the things that, because it just kept changing all the time. But then after I got started to work, well, then I was able to take all these changes in the stride.
As a nurse, you didn't have to get laid off? Or
no, I never did.
Were nurses unionized then?
No.
You didn't have a union?
No.
Were you much aware of the union here in town?
Oh, yes, with the miners. You see, they'd go on strike, and so the unions were really, really big in Rock Springs. And if you were a miner, you didn't buy from anybody that wasn't a union person. You know, they really stressed that.
Did they have miners' co-ops that they used, or?
I can't remember of any.
What about the newspaper? Was it affected by the union? Did they print both sides of issues, or?
Oh, I think so. The first paper was the Miner, and then there was the Rocket, and then they combined, so the Rocket Miner. But the Miner was a weekly. It was a really good paper. It really had a lot of news in it. It isn't like it is now, full of advertisements. It really got all the news in it then.
Did the union, were they really strong in, if the store wasn't unionized, did they not go there?
Oh, yes, the miners would support it.
Okay. What about, were there non-whites, were there the blacks, the Chinese, and the unions, or were they excluded?
Oh, I think they were allowed to join, too.
Were women allowed to work in the mines?
I don't think any of them, I don't remember any of them working around the mines until when the Second World War. Then they started working around the tipples and doing things like that.
Were there specific things that women could do or couldn't do when you were growing up? Were there any?
Well, I don't think anybody said you can or can't do it, but then there were some things that were more accepted than others.
When you after you got married, did you have, what did you do? Did your life change much from when your mother was a housewife?
Oh, yes. Well, when we first got married, we went to Denver to live. James was working for Armour and Company. And so I worked at Children's Hospital in Denver, and it's about the most wonderful hospital I ever worked in, because you only had to do nursing. So many hospitals, you have to do a lot of menial things. But at Children's in Denver, we only had to do the actual nursing care. And so you could do so much more for your patients. And I worked there for a summer. And when I went there, I told them I would like to work. And they asked me where I trained. And when I told them, they said, well, we will put you on right away. We won't even wait for your credentials if you graduated from that hospital. We know that you're a good nurse, because it has a very good reputation. So I went right to work, and I really enjoyed that experience there. They had black, lots of black maids, that if you gave your patient a bath and got them up in the chair, then the black maid came in and made the bed and changed it and did things like that. And they were awfully good to you, awfully. They could never understand how come I was working and was married. You see, even this was in 1937. not a lot of married women were working then, but of course I was 27 when I got married, so I wasn't so young looking, and they didn't realize how long I'd been married, so they would say, well, how come you don't have any children? And I said, well, we're going to have a family someday. And there was one little black maid that was really cute. She said to me, well, maybe you white girls can have them when you want them, but we just take them when we get them. And so they just couldn't understand, and they were so good to me and waited on me hand and foot there. And so I really enjoyed the nursing part of it. It was very different than the hospital here. And then we came back here, and James went to teaching at Reliance, and we lived at Winton, and he drove the school bus. So I didn't do much then, except sometimes the doctors would call me and I'd come in and take a case and do a private duty, but not very often. But we came to town a lot and went to church in town. They did have a little branch of the church out there, but we came to town, and some of the time then I was the ward organist. So I have been off and on for many a year, and so we really didn't leave. We went to the picture show. And we just didn't have a very exciting life, but we had a good life.
What did your house look like when you lived out?
Well, it was a Union Pacific house, and we went out and papered and painted and fixed it all up before we moved in, and we bought new furniture, and so it wasn't really bad. We took old nylon stockings and stuffed in all the cracks around the windows because the wind blows real bad out there, you know, and then we painted over it so that we kind of weatherproofed it. And we didn't have indoor plumbing there either. We had water in the house, but we didn't have indoor plumbing. And so we came to town real often and had our baths in town.
Did you have electricity or anything?
Oh, yes, we had electricity.
Did you have a washing machine, or did you?
I had a washing machine, just a conventional type of washer.
Did James help with the kids, or did you do it all?
Oh, he helped. He helped a lot. But then I was home all the time. You see, after I had my children, I didn't work. Until Margaret Ann went to kindergarten, I didn't work at all. I stayed home with them.
Did you have a garden?
Not out of Wind. We didn't. Mm-hmm. And then we lived in Lovell 1 year. We had a garden up there. And then we moved to Cokeville. We lived over in Cokeville, too. James was the superintendent of schools in Cokeville for 7 years. We lived over there. We had a garden over there.
Who took care of it, you and James?
Oh, both of us.
Did you have the home canyon that we have now? Or?
Oh, yes. And we used to drive over to Logan, and my sister would have a lot of vegetables and things in her garden over there, and she'd load me up, and I'd come home and run my canner all night, running vegetables, and we'd bring fruit home, and we did a lot of canning.
Did you raise your own meat, or did you?
No, the only thing we had over there was, we'd have a bum lamb once in a while. Somebody'd give us a bum lamb, and we'd raise that, but that's all the meat we had.
So you bought most of your meat from the stores?
Yes, and then, see, there was no doctor in Cokeville, so a lot of people came to me for medical things, like the doctors would send the shots over for me to give to people, and people with cuts and different things, and I would get called out in the middle of the night for people to just come and see somebody that was very sick and things like that. And the people were very good to give you, like, they'd give you a couple of big round steaks, or they'd give you a quart of cream, and that was in the days when we had rationing, you know. And so this was better than money, because you couldn't go and buy it without the ration stamps. And so we got cream and butter and meat, and they'd give you ham and different things. So we really fared well for that too.
Did the depression affect it very much?
Well, when I first graduated from nurses training and was working in Oakland, that's when the depression was really bad. And I was the only one out of my class that got a job when I went to work for this Dr. Seifert in X-ray. And some of the girls, they were doing private duty and they were making $4 a shift, and sometimes they didn't get very many shifts in a month. And there were some of the girls who were my friends would come, and they'd even clean my apartment and help me do things to stay and have dinner, because they didn't have very much money to spend on food. And so I really, and food was so cheap in California. The only thing that was a little higher was meat, but your vegetables and fruit were, you could buy a big sack full of artichokes for a quarter, and a sack full of those big ladyfinger grapes for a quarter, and such good things for you. The meat was a little higher, but everything else, that's why this depression that we're having now is so different, because everything's so high. Then we could buy so much more for our money than we can now.
When you moved back here, did things be worse or better than
that
in California?
Oh, not any worse.
People seem to be adjusting.
Oh, yes. Of course, there were people out of work, and there were a lot of problems, I guess, but then I had never, you know, I really never suffered with it, because I got a job making $100 a month, and everybody thought I was really living on Easy Street to make $100 a month. Of course, I could have my meals when I was at the hospital working, and I got my laundry done, so they thought I was really well off.
Did it affect your family, your parents?
No, they didn't have any problems either.
What about World War II? What was it like working during World War
II?
You were in
Cokeville, yeah. Yeah, and my my children were young, and so, you know, I went out and did things for the Red Cross and different things like that. And before we went to Cokeville, when we lived over in Winton, I taught home nursing. I had several classes, and over in Cokeville we were busy with Red Cross things, but I can't remember that it affected us too much. James went, and he was rejected because of his legs. He couldn't get into the, he was going to try to get into the Navy, so it didn't bother us.
Did any of your family serve in the Navy?
Well, my brother went in, but he had been accepted at medical school, and so he went in on that accelerated plan and went to George Washington University, and they just sent him on through medical school, so He didn't have to fight. But he had been accepted at a medical school first, so that's the only thing that saved him from going.
What about this area during the 50s when the coal kind of slacked off? And here, was it affected very much by
yeah,
that?
We were, see, we were in, we moved over here in 51. It was kind of bad. A lot of people left Rock Springs, but the hospital stayed busy, and I started to work in 51, and we kept working, and it seemed like that no matter how bad things were, that there was always a job for a nurse. I never had to worry about a job. In fact, that when I asked if they needed help here, that's the first time I had ever asked for a job as a nurse, except in at Children's in Denver. But before, I'd always had jobs offered to me.
How did the hospital handle people without work? Did they have a welfare system they could fall back on? Or?
Well, I don't think that they didn't greet you with, do you have insurance, and how are you going to pay for this? I think that they lost an awful lot of money because they didn't do that in those times. But they took everybody in, and this being a county hospital, well, first this was a state hospital. But it was a county hospital when I went back to work, I think. Yes, it was a county. And a county hospital cannot refuse treatment to anyone, even if they don't have money. So I'm sure that there was a lot of money never paid to it.
What about the miners? Did they have a lot of black lungs? Did you see that?
Oh, yes. We had two big wards on the first floor of that old hospital. One was for medical, one for surgical, for miners. There was about 10 beds in each ward, and we always had those full, and then we had some rooms down below for some of them more chronically and terminally ill people, and so they were always a lot of people in there with a silicosis or pneumoconiosis or whatever you want to call it from the black lung.
Did they ever bring in specialists, or did just the regular doctors handle it?
Oh, they had people come in from Denver and the UMWA, you see, the United Mine Workers. They had different doctors come in to inspect things.
When did they get an OB ward?
Well, the OB ward, they had up there built up on the second floor, that was, I don't know, but I had my first two children, and they were born in the part along there where Ed Neely's office was in the old hospital. That's where the delivery room was in the old hospital. That's where I had my first two children. And then Margaret Ann was born up there in 47, so it was sometime, it was quite new yet, so it probably was around 43, 44.
By that time, were most women going to the hospital to have the
more, children? Yes. Mm-hmm. But even when I had my first ones, most people went to the hospital, I think. Not so many were staying home.
How would you compare this area during the 70s when it was a boom as compared to the 50s when it was a bust? How was it different?
The hospital,
yeah.
You know? Well, it was so much busier, and we were so short of help. We worked so hard during that time, really worked hard, because we needed more nurses and more help than we had.
Did the cases, were they... The type of cases, were they different?
Well, yes, because we didn't have so many people. You know, before we had all these mine accidents, people so hurt, badly hurt in the mine, broken backs and things like that. And then it was a different kind of sickness, more medical sickness, not so much orthopedic.
What biggest thing that you can see change since you were down in the county?
Well, the biggest change is now that there are so many more people that we don't know one another like we did then. It used to be everybody knew everybody else, and like when people would come into the hospital, you knew them or some of their family, and I think you were more interested in them, and I think that they felt a certain security in the fact that you were there and knew who they were. But now it's, I think that it's like any other city. I don't, when I read the paper, I know very few people. It used to be that when I walked down the street, there were very few I didn't know. I spoke to nearly everybody I met.
Now, many of your children live here in town. Would you recommend that they live in this town? Is it the type of town you want your grandchildren to go to?
Well, I think that I don't think it's a bad town to grow up in. But one thing that my children don't like is the climate. They like to be where it's warmer. They don't like the climate here. And of course, they like, Lynn likes to go to operas and to ballets and symphonies, and we have very little of that. She likes the cultural things that she has, being that close to Salt Lake, and Margaret Ann likes the climate and the things that she has to do in Las Vegas. And Jim, of course, he has gone where his work has been best, and he likes the climate. He's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he likes the climate is much more moderate than it is here, and he likes that. But I think that I didn't feel like we had any great trouble bringing our children up. They all turned out real good, and I think that it takes maybe a little more direction, but I think you can still bring them up and have them live the kind of lives you want them to if you watch over them.
What political parties?
Well, my father and mother were Republicans, but then when I got married, my husband was a Democrat, and so in order to vote for him, I had to change my politics. He's been in politics, and so now, but when I first started to vote, I was a Republican too, and this doctor I worked for went with me when I voted first, and he was a Republican, and so I voted Republican. But then after I got married, of course, I always feel like there's not very much difference anymore in the two parties. I think one's in and the other wants to be, and I think that's about the only difference now. But I generally vote for the man more than the party.
When did the Democrats start getting more control, more power?
In this county?
In this county.
Well, these Tollivers, Seddon and Lucy Tolliver, the grandparents of Bill Tolliver that lives in the South now, they were the ones that really built up the party in Rock Springs. They really brought it into the fore. Before that, I think that the Republicans were the ones that held sway here, but the Tollivers really worked at it.
Which party seemed to support the miners more and the way that the union?
I really didn't know how to answer that. I don't know.
Were there ever any, like the socialist or the communist parties, have they ever been active?
Oh, there have been socialists around here, yes. There have been socialists. But I don't think they ever got much ground around here. I don't think they ever did very much.
Were you ever active in any of the political conventions or anything?
Well, the only thing, if James was in the legislature, you know, we went to meetings and things like that then, but now we don't go out very much because he doesn't like to go out very much. He walks kind of slowly, so we don't really do very much of that anymore.
Do you remember any famous politicians that were coming to Hot Springs?
Oh, yes, I can remember when Nellie Taylor Ross was the first woman governor. Came to Rock Springs. They had a reception for over at Culver's, and I was there and met her. And Mrs. Tolliver was on this. If you saw George Washington the other night, the credits for the show, it said the Mount Vernon women. She was a member of that, and she went back to these meetings, and she was a friend of Eleanor Roosevelt. So through the Tollivers, we met and knew about quite a few people.
Do you remember ever not voting?
No.
Did the women in this town seem to have much power, or did you just vote their husband's ticket?
Well, I don't know whether all women did, but I know there were some women over in that they would tell you to talk to a certain woman, and she would have quite a bit of influence with the different people in her the people of her nationality, and. So I think there were a lot of women with a lot of influence in the town that helped many of the politicians.
Who was the politician that you liked the best and why?
Well, when my husband was in the legislature the first time, Governor Simpson was the governor, and he and his wife were so gracious and nice. We had dinner at the governor's mansion, and they were really gracious people, I thought. And we had dinner with the Herschlers, too, and they were really nice, but I really admired the Simpsons. And they were Republicans too, but they were really, really nice to us, and nice to everybody, I thought. And
okay, being a nurse, did you ever have to deal with any of the ladies of the evening who worked in town?
Yes, we had a lot of the girls come in. We had. Some of them were dope addicts, and some of them would have to have treatments and things. So we did have some of them come in. There, you know, it was legal, I guess, then, because these girls had to have these monthly examinations The houses were all open. There were many of them around.
Did they do much with birth control or abortions or anything in town, or did they go away for that?
I don't remember anything. Of course, we've always had a lot of Catholic girls in our nurses, and they refused to do any abortions and things, so I'm sure that they didn't do that, but I didn't work in the surgery here, so I don't know of any.
Did they ever teach any kind of sex education in the homes or in the schools?
Yes, we had some some classes, and I can remember when I was in grade school, we had a school nurse at that time, and she gave classes about sex education and different things.
Did they ever deal much with birth control being discussed?
No, I don't remember hearing anything.
Did the doctor you ever worked with do much in birth control or anything like that?
No, the doctor that I worked with was mostly he was an X-ray diagnostician, and then he also did deep X-ray therapy. So we didn't have anything to do with anything like that.
So just kind of took kids when they came up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.